And good evening, folks. You're listening to Roots and Branches and Beyond for another episode. My name's Ivan Emke with you for another 90 minutes of music. A lot of brass tonight. I'm just going to say this up front, and I hope that doesn't throw anybody off because it's amazing stuff. So you're listening to us, CKVB, Bay of Islands Radio, 100.1. Or you're listening on Norris Point on the Voice of Bond Bay, 95.9 FM. We'll tell you a bit more about this band, basically a Scottish band, even though it might not sound like it right now, called Salsa Celtica. Go back to their cumbia here. See you in a minute. Should you ever need an advertisement for the value of cross-cultural interaction, that certainly is one. That band called Salsa Celtica from Scotland. They began about 1995, a bunch of Scottish jazz and folk musicians who were quite curious about Latin American music. They visited Cuba a couple years later, and they absorbed the musical culture and the influences of the country. And inspired by this trip, they released their first CD called Monstruos y Demonios. Monsters and Demons, yes. That same year. It went on, received critical acclaim and so on. They returned to Cuba again a few years later and appeared in Havana and Santiago, worked with Conjunto Folclorica. the Kutumba. Anyway, this is from one of their albums, El Agua de la Vida, The Water of Life. And it reached number 5 on the world music chart. And they played all over the world, from village halls in Scotland to some of the most important music festivals around the world. So Salsa Celtica, and that was a track called Cumbia Celtica. Cumbia is a very popular Latin American dance. And so I hope you moved the furniture aside and had a little bit of a move around the living room or kitchen or wherever you are. If you're driving, be careful. Don't do that sort of thing. But it shows also the focus on brass. And later this very evening, I'm going to be playing more brass. And it's kind of a theme, and I don't feel like I have to justify it or anything like that, but we'll chat a bit more about that. Sometimes you think about traditional music, roots music, as not brass being not particularly important, except in certain kinds, like Latin American music as well. But it shows up all over the place. Next up, we'll just head off to France from Scotland, just a little drive across the channel there. And this is a band called Fatal Mambo. M-A-M-B-O. And from the very first notes, they sound like a kind of a peasant band, a salsa band, one that has a fairly light-hearted approach to Cuban dance. But then they start singing, and they sing in French, and you realize, oh, wait a minute, this is slightly different. So you realize something's not quite kosher. So it turns out the band hails not from Cuba or somewhere like that, but from the southern city of Montpellier in France. And they sort of grew full-grown from a whimsical brain of their founder and lead percussionist and vocalist. So they were smitten by Cuban music. The thing that really got them was, and we can all kind of point to these sort of conversion experiences, I suppose, when we find out that a certain kind of music is great. But it was Tito Puente. I don't know if you've ever heard of Tito Puente. If you haven't, look it up on YouTube or whatever sort of thing that you do these days. But Tito Puente was very important, and once they heard Tito and his music, they realized that's the kind of salsa that they want to play. So they've been together since 1989, which is quite a long time for bands these days, I suppose. And there's four of them, and they have a fairly rhythmic sound. They came out, their first name was called Tabasco, which is a good name too. And it's free for the taking because they no longer go by that name. But their first touring schedule, their first year, I mean, these are serious people. They included over 300 gigs. Like there's 365 or 366 days in the year, depending on the year. And if it was 1989, there wasn't 300. Anyway, that's a lot of gigging. So we're going to hear this band, and partly because we've had some weird weather here. I don't know where you're living right now or where you're listening from. Welcome wherever it is. But we've had some weird weather here, and some days it feels like winter, like it should, and some days it feels not like winter, like it shouldn't. So I thought we'd play a not like winter song just to honor it, so that maybe it'll go away and not come back until it's time for summer. But this is Fatal Mambo, and it's something that you will recognize probably. This is In the Summertime. That sounds better. Ooh.
Oh, mon banquier est trop roux, il me colle des agios. Plus je suis malade et plus il me casse le dos. Qu'est-ce que je dois faire pour obtenir un petit bout du magot? Qu'est-ce que je dois faire pour obtenir un petit bout du magot? Je vais chez le maire demander des subventions, mais les fonctionnaires font une manifestation. Qu'est-ce que tu veux faire contre la colère de l'administration? Oh, qu'est-ce que tu veux faire contre la colère de l'administration? Et quant à la SEDIC, je demande des allocations. Au dehors, les flics me collent une contravention. C'est vraiment pas chic, pour payer va falloir que je trouve des ronds. C'est vraiment pas chic, pour payer va falloir que je trouve des ronds.
Et je serai de métier si tu veux palper.
De quoi?
Ton mango cherry. Et je serai de métier si tu veux palper. Ton mango cherry.
Je
serai de métier si tu veux palper dans ma couture.
copain sous le stéto ou peut-être assureur. Bienvenue chez les escrocs, je préfère chanteur, même si c'est le métier qui m'a mis cabot. Je préfère chanteur, même si c'est le métier qui m'a mis cabot. Je change de métier, mais la solution, c'est que vous allez m'aider. Ma chanson vous plaît, et vous me ferez donc de la publicité. Oh, ma chanson vous plaît, et vous me ferez donc de la publicité. Ma chanson vous plaît, vous me ferez donc de la publicité. Oh, ma chanson vous plaît, et vous me ferez donc de la publicité.
Yes, despite the technical problems, that was worth it, right? Right, that was originally done by Mungo Jerry, I believe, back in the heady days of summer when I was young. I remember that being on the radio. You're listening to Roots and Branches and Beyond for this week's episode, and we will get to some more brass music in just a moment. But I have to get some other things out of the way, which are some CDs I'd like to play. A couple of new things here, and then we head there. Anyway, next up we have a band... I've got a bunch of their CDs, and every once in a while you hear a CD that you haven't heard for years, like decades sometimes, and you realize, oh, this is actually very good stuff. So this is a band that has never really got its rightful place, I suppose, in Canadian music history. This is a band called Surois, S-U-R-O-I-T, and they come from Île de la Madeleine in just those islands off Quebec in the St. Lawrence. They were created or came together in about 1977, and they've had a very different structures. They've come and gone and so on as people have moved away from the island or things changed. One of the members, original members, died and so on. But they have very Acadian origins, music with this Cajun, bluegrass, blues, Celtic, as well as Quebecois, of course, because of where they are. And a lot of music about the sea and their fishing culture and Acadian culture and so on. They've had undisputed success in Europe for like 30 years or whatever it's been since, I mean, around 40 years by now. But they still have a hard time winning the Quebec music scene. They're off there on an island. It's a bit difficult to do the touring and so on and so forth. But here's an album that they did, which also refers to a person who you probably don't remember, but was one of the very important, here I'm presuming you don't remember, maybe you don't, La Bolduc, B-O-L-D-U-C. She was born Mary Rosanna Travers, and she was always called Madame Bolduc or La Bolduc, and she was at her peak of popularity in the 1930s, and she was known as the Queen of Canadian folk singers at that time, and so she sang traditional folk music of Ireland, Quebec, lots of upbeat comedic songs. She did basically sort of comedy tours that she would do with lots of music, minstrel shows and so on and so forth. She was born in the Gaspé region. Her father was an Anglophone of Irish descent. Her mother was French-Canadian Mi'kmaq. And their only music teacher was her father, but they learned all of the instruments. So she learned the fiddle and the accordion and the harmonica and the spoons and jaw harp and the boots and all that kind of thing. She had a pretty hard life herself. She and her husband had 12 or 13. There's debate in the literature about how many pregnancies she's had. Only 4 children reached adulthood. So there was a lot of tragedy in her life as well. The family was quite poor. But she was able to make a living for a period of time because she was a great entertainer, and she commanded a fair bit of money. Unfortunately, things happened, and she got ripped off, and that's the story of some musicians. But anyway, that aside, she became a regular player, and by the late 1930s, she was well known. She became a player because she filled in on violin, because she knew all these instruments, for somebody one night, and she was pretty good, and so they filled in the next night and the next night. And so there it goes. So always, you know, carry your violin with you just in case you get a gig and might actually, you know, it's being optimistic, I suppose. But it worked for her. But she had her own touring group named La Troupe de Bonvais Temple, and lots of vaudeville and traditional folk music and so on. Now, the other thing about this is we're talking about the 20s and 30s, and in Quebec at that time, it was a very traditional province. And the idea that a woman would be traveling as a performer raised eyebrows and so on. So her husband would travel with her just because she had to, and then she had to go by her husband's name and so on and so forth. But she is seen as being one of Quebec's, probably her first, Quebec's first singer-songwriter, either that or Félix Leclerc. Either way, I'm just saying, you know, it takes me a while to say it, but she's pretty important in terms of the Quebec. In fact, she even has a stamp. She has a stamp released in her honor. I think it was 1994 or something like that. So you don't get to have a stamp, a Canadian stamp, without doing something pretty important. So here are two pieces of Quebecois culture, Île-de-la-Madeleine culture, that is not very well known, really. The band Sourois and herself, Madame Bolduc.
Elle est allée dans une veillée, il faisait rien que de la chaler. Il disait toujours I love you, et puis moi tout.
Oh 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 oh, you bet mon chou. Quand l'endemain est arrivé,
vous assure qu'il était brisé.
Elle lui dit le lendemain de la veille, tu sais ben comment ce que c'est. Around and around he goes, where he saw nobody knows. Ho 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 ho, alright, alright.
Au soir d'amateur, il a été voir le directeur.
Il a fait application pour faire des imitations. Et sa spécialité, c'est d'imiter Bing Crosby. Happy boo boo boo.
Musique à bout de l'accordéon, la guitare ou le piano, saxophone ou le banjo, des histoires de la chanson et de la récitation. Oh 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 oh, faites donc un Gédéon.
Si vous faites belle affaire,
vous deviendrez populaire.
Des engagements vous en aurez, faites tout ce que vous en voulez. Au poste CFCF, CHRC, CHLP. Oh 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 oh, c'est quand assez.
So that's the music of La Bolduc by the band Sourois, who are from Île-de-la-Madeleine. And Sourois is a fine band. If you ever get to see them or, well, get to buy their albums, their CDs, which are probably all now in bargain bins. Alas, this is the way things go with musical careers sometimes in northern New Brunswick or in Quebec. So Sourois. A couple of new releases now I want to get to. This next band is it's a duo, Jimmy Aldridge and Sid Goldsmith. They're a fine duo, emerged out of the British folk and acoustic scene in recent years. They're based in Bristol, London, largely now, though. In the main, they play traditional music that originates from the British Isles on guitar and banjo. They have some great vocal harmonies. But they're also kind of slipping in or inserting Americana as well. And they also do a fair bit of music with social conscience, I guess, is that's the term that we call it these days. And conservation is very close to their hearts. One of them, Sid, works as a forestry, in forestry, traditional forestry, and Jimmy is an environmental campaigner. So, you know, they come by these interests honestly. They've been gigging pretty hard, except they had a setback. Jimmy broke his back in the Alps. But they continued to tour. He would... they had a van and that they borrowed, and so Jimmy would lay out in the back and Sid would drive. And so if that isn't dedication, you're like, I don't know. I don't know what is. So this is new from them. This is a three tracks jail song, Tralee Jail. And then they go into the Clinch Mountain backstep, which just sort of shows how they're bringing the British and the American music together. So some new music here from Jimmy Aldridge and Sid Goldsmith.
Step in, young man, I know your face. It's nothing in your favour. A little time I'll give to you. 6 months unto hard labour. To me, hit for the day, hit for the day, hit for the day, for the diggy, oh. And at 6 o'clock, our screw comes in with bunch of keys all in his hand. Come, come, my lad, step up in time. Tread the wheel till breakfast time. To me, hit for the day, hit for the day, hit for the day, for the tiger, yo. And at 6:30, our skilly comes in. Sometimes thick and sometimes thin, but devil's a word he will not say. Bread and water all next day. To me, hit for the day, hit for the day, hit for the day, for the diggy, yo. Oh. 8 o'clock, the bell doth ring. Into the chapel we must swing. Down on our bended knees to fall. May the Lord have mercy on us all. To me, hit for the day, hit for the day, hit for the day, for the diggy, yo. Oh. Now Saturday's come, I'm sorry to say. Sunday is our starvation day. With our hobnail boots and our tin mugs too. They are not shined and they will not do. To me, hit for the day, hit for the day, hit for the day, for the diggy, yo. Six long months are over and past. I will return to my bonny, bonny lass. I'll leave the turnkeys all behind, the wheel to tread and the corn to grind.
of new music there from duo Jimmy Aldridge and Sid Goldsmith. And that's from a CD. It's called Let the Wind Blow High or Low. You're listening to Roots and Branches and Beyond. And they're listening on the Bay of Islands Radio, 100.1 FM in the Bay of Islands in Western Newfoundland. Or on Bond Bay, the Voice of Bond Bay, which is nestled in Grosmorne Park, North Point. At 95.9 FM, or you're listening on the World Wide Interweb at some point, or some other way you got it that I don't know about, which is fine. Heading off to one more new track, and this is what really kind of got me into the brass way of thinking as I was preparing the show this week. This is a guy called John Kirkpatrick. If you've been around British music, you probably know of him. He was born in Cheswick in West London. He lives in Shropshire. He's lived there for, well, not forever, but since the 1970s. But his love of music was instilled from birth. His family gatherings all had a hearty sing-a-song, and he was in school choirs, in church choirs. He played recorder and piano. And in 1959, he joined a Morris team. I don't know if you know what Morris dancing is. There's a couple different kinds of Morris dancing. Sometimes people make fun of it and so on, but you dress up, you have bells on your legs and so on, streamers and fancy stuff. The kind that he joined don't have clogged feet. Like sometimes people have clogs, like we used to wear in the mines, and so it's a slightly different kind, and it's more, well, I can't go into it because I'm sort of painting pictures with my fingers and it's not really helping you, with, is it, on the radio? Anyways, the Hammersmith Morris Men started in 1959 and John Kirkpatrick joined in their second week, and that was the end of it for him. Like, he was a Morris dancer from then on in. Just not the music, he recorded some of the music around that, but also he continues to dance. With all of his four sons, on a good day, he dances with the Morris team he founded in 1975, the Shropshire Bedlams. So since 1959, he's been dancing Morris dancing, so it's got to be good for your health or something like that. But he took up the melodeon, which is a little bit like the kind of, okay, let's just say it's a little bit like the button accordion that we have here in Newfoundland Labrador. And he also took up the button accordion, the Anglo concertina, and he got hooked on traditional songs. Anyway, he became a very prolific figure in a variety of really important bands, electric and acoustic bands, and has quite a reputation. He's contributed to about 60 plays in terms of writing music, theater, and the radio. He's been a featured artiste, a band member, a session player. He's got over 200 commercial recordings that he's been involved with. So I go on, but I won't. But he's released a new album. It just came out in the fall, I believe, and it's called Coattails Flying. And so he doesn't release a lot. He's got a great voice as well, but this is a song that's called Bum Sheatity, and it's kind of a nonsense song, and it's a little bit impolite, I suppose, as the British like to be, because it has the word bum in it, for one thing, you know, which I guess at one point was scandalized people and wouldn't be allowed to be played on the BBC. Now it's not allowed to be played unless it has something worse than bum in it. Anyway, this is new music from John Kirkpatrick, and maybe you can figure out how to sing along. This is Bum Sheatity.
Once did court a bonny lass, and a bonny lass was she. Her name was Kitty Mataramatu, and mine was Taramati. I once did go a courting her when her old man was at one. He says, if I catch you here again, by gad, I wallop you. Bum she adity, 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 bum she adity, eh? Bum she adity, 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 bum she adity, eh? So Kitty and I, we made it up as a ladder I should bring. We fixed it up to a window, and by gad, it was just the thing. We tittled and chaffed and laughed, until at last, by gum, me foot slipped through a window, and a fella caught me. Bum she adity, 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 bum she adity, eh? Bum she adity, 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 bum she adity, eh? They took me to a doctor's shop and there I made me case. By gad, I couldn't but help but laugh and I showed me Sunday face. He thought I were making a fool of him by gum. But he were making a fool of me when he turpentined me. Bum-she-adity-adity-adity, bum-she-adity-ay. Bum-she-adity-adity-adity, bum-she-adity-ay. So they wheeled me home in a wheelbarrow, they wheeled me home with care. I got the people, they didn't laugh, but I saw they brought me there. Whatever have you been doing now, so says my brother Tom. I said I've been a-courting and a felon a-court me. Bum-she-adity-adity-adity, bum-she-adity-ay. Bum-she-adity-adity-adity, bum-she-adity-ay.
Bum-she-adity-adity-adity, bum-she-adity-adity-adity, bum.
Now Kitty and me, we soon did agree that we should have to wed. She made me a sling to put me bum in and through it I cocked me leg. And as we wobbled along to church, the kids did holler and run. Here comes the clown with his trousers down who fell and caught his bum. She adity, 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 bum. She adity, ay. Bum. She adity, 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 bum. She adity, ay.
Bum. She adity.
Now turpentine's a wonderful thing, a cure for every ill. But you take care if you're up in the air or up on a windowsill. Be careful where you put your feet or tumbling down you'll come. Remember me, Potaramity, when they turpentine me. Bum-she-adity-adity-adity, bum-she-adity-ay. Bum-she-adity-adity-adity,
Yes, I think you can probably sing along at this point because you know that chorus. That's from a new release from John Kirkpatrick. Coattails Flying, that was a song called Bum-she-adity. So when I heard that, I was listening to this new release and I thought, oh, this is good stuff, you know, who's doing it. I was thinking of all the other things that John Kirkpatrick had done, and I thought of this great band that he was with called Brass Monkey. And it was a little bit slightly different, at least in the British folk scene at the time anyway, because it used brass instruments very commonly and very very well. Now, this is not unusual because many of the early compositions, like from the Playford tunes and so on and so forth, were often played with brass instruments. And brass was used a lot in not just dance music, but it was used in church music and so on. And often it was the same people who played the dances Saturday nights who played church music Sunday morning. And so sometimes when you look at those old tune books, as I'm sure you have, you looked at John Playford's Dancing Master from 1531 or whatever it was, it's a great, some great tunes in it. But you realize, why are all these things in like E flat or B flat or whatever? Why are they all in flats? Because fiddles and accordions tend to be tuned, or fiddles especially, you know, they work well in D. That's the good key, you know, D or G or A, sometimes E. Sometimes you'll, in F or B-flat, you know, if you get into Québécois music where it's a bit twisted and interesting that way. But anyway, it's because they were playing with brass instruments, and those are the keys that, for some reason, brass people think they have to play in flats like that. I don't know what it is about brass people. But anyway, so it's not like this was not done in the past, but it's just that brass kind of fell out of favor after a while when, you know, the guitars and the fiddles and the accordions kind of just started to take over. So Brass Monkey, they started in the 1980s. They reunited in the 90s a couple times. So they came back and forth because they were involved people like John Kirkpatrick, Martin Carthy, people who were really busy. Like they had lives and careers. It was on good tracks as well. But they ended up doing about 6 albums, a couple compilations, a live release, and so on. And the name Brass Monkey comes from, there used to be these brass monkeys, which were, you know, actually sort of statues. Sometimes we'd say, well, it was so cold it could freeze the something off a brass monkey. Now, there's different variations. It could be freeze the toes off or freeze the nose off or freeze other kind of naughty bits off or whatever. But that's where the name brass monkey comes from, that, I suppose. It was just a way to express how cold it is. I don't hear that expression very much anymore, so brass monkey maybe doesn't make sense. But it also has a reference then to brass instruments, obviously. And so a lot of times people think that maybe it was renamed after the brass instruments themselves, but apparently not. Anyway, well, so we'll listen to some of that, and then we'll go on from there and hear some of their influences with other bands and brass instruments being used in other kinds of folk and roots music. And see what you think. I think this Brass Monkey was a great band. And so we'll listen. This is from one of their CDs. This one's called The Doffing Mistress, and has some lyrics in it as well. But it shows you how they combine not just the accordion and the Martin Carthy's amazing guitar playing, his rhythmic guitar playing, but also the brass as well. So starting off on this very interesting tour, I suppose, of brass, this is Brass Monkey.
She hangs her coat on the highest pin, turns around for to view a frame, saying, "Damn you doffers, tie up your ends, rah, rifle, rah, rah, rifle, rah." Doffers, he loudly roar, rod, rifle, rod, rod, rifle, ray. Tie our ends up, we surely do. For else the Thompson would love for you. We'll tie up our ends and we'll leave our frames. Wait for Elsie Thompson to return again. Rod, rifle, rod, rod, rifle, ray.
That's just delightful, isn't it? That's Brass Monkey, and it's a kind of the feel of all of their albums. And it, I must admit, there was a time in my life when I didn't appreciate brass, and maybe you feel the same way. I've heard other people say this, and you know, you go through phases of life where you think, why this is a good riff? It should be played by some sort of guitar with a lot of fuzz on it or something like that to make it really interesting, but then it's a trumpet, you know, for heaven's sake. Anyway, I'm through that. I've sort of come out of that the other side, having an appreciation for brass, and as appreciation I should say for brass. And as I say, you know, some of my best friends play brass openly, and so on. So I kind of like that. And then as I got to know other kinds of music from other parts of the world where brass is really quite important, which we'll listen to in a moment. We'll listen to Bollywood brass and we'll listen to some Macedonian brass and some, and go on. So I'm just saying, and I'm just putting my cards out on the table. Like, maybe if you're feeling like, I don't know, this brass is, you know, it's just, maybe you heard, anyway, but just give it a chance. So we'll continue on with Edward II and the Red Hot Polkas, and that was a band also from Britain. It was also a band that sort of incorporated a number of different kind of feels to it. They had a fusion of world music and English folk and reggae and brass and so on. They started about 1980, and they keep breaking up and coming back together. That's what happens with brass bands, you know. But they uniquely blend the rhythm of the Caribbean with traditional songs from the British Isles. And even, you know, 35 years and some beyond, they just came out with another CD just like a year and a half ago. So they're still really upbeat. They rock steady rhythms, blazing horns, fabulous harmonies, fiery melodeon tunes, all that kind of thing. It sounds like I'm a PR person now. But nevertheless, this is great stuff. This is music from Edward II and the Red Hot Polkas. And that is a band called Edward II and the Red Hot Polkas, and that's called The Shepherd's Hay, which is a Morris dancing tune. If you were a Morris dancer, you'd be getting your hankies out and flipping them in the air and jumping around with the bells on your legs and so on. But that shows the use of a bit of brass there. And you say, well, Ivan, ska is all about brass. You've got to have brass. And that's the kind of reggae ska feel that they have. And yes, that's very true. And good point. You get 2 points for that, actually. And we'll play a little bit of ska, folk ska, in a little bit from Newfoundland later on in this show. But that's kind of I like the space in it. You know, it's like reggae has got to have a lot of space there, and it does a nice job. So heading off then, I said we're going to listen to some brass from other areas of the world. And so this is a band from Macedonia. They're called the Kochani Orchestra, and they're a Romani brass band from Macedonia, from Kochani. And they're among the one of the funkiest exports of the Balkan brass band style, which is found along from the ex-Yugoslavia or whatever. It depends on what kind of world map you've got on your wall there. But it's a direct descendant of the music once played by Turkish army bands as well as the Romani and the gypsy tunes from various parts of the Balkans, a bit of a sprinkle of Latin flavor as well. So the Cochani Orchestra, they took the Western world by surprise in 1997. Their first album was called L'Orient et Rouge. And they have a sort of trademark thundering style, and it became very popular. Part of it is because of their rhythm section, because they play with, the rhythm section is often a drummer and four tubas. Okay, like I give you a bit of time to that to sink in. Like a drummer, okay, you know that is a rhythm section. But four tubas, like sometimes a rhythm section is a drummer and a bass. Four tubas, like that's something going on there. So that's why it's seen as a thundering style. It was very passionate soloist and just kind of a funky beat. And despite the fact that they play in many or sort of odd tempos, like 7-8 or 9-8 or 13-8 and so on, rather asymmetrical rhythms, you know, where you're you know, 1-2-3, 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3, 1-2-3-4, or, you know, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3-4, or whatever. It's a bit difficult sometimes to even get around, your head around, but it makes dancing tricky for a lot of people, but it never does, it doesn't inhibit people. They have lots of dances, and they've played, in their early days, they played for weddings and so on and so forth, and the famous weddings, you know, Macedonian weddings, which go on for days. And so they have kind of transcended the strict boundaries of the brass band genre. They explore sort of salon music or soft seat music as well, but we don't have much of that on this track here. And they've integrated this is a quote from their material. They say they've integrated more subtle instruments like the darbuka, the banjo, and the clarinet. Now, I don't know where you come from, but I'm not sure if I've ever heard the banjo referred to as a subtle instrument, or the clarinet for that matter, or the darbuka. But nevertheless, it gives you an idea of the aggressive power of the typical instruments that this band, Cochani Orchestra, tends to use. So this is a track which is called Spinning Round and Round. It's from their CD. I love the title of their CD, called Never Heard of Them. Well, now you have. This is Cochani Orchestra. We'll be right back. That's the Cochani Orchestra, and a track there, which I really should number the pages of my playlist here so that I look at the right side of it anyway. The CD is actually called Alone at My Wedding. It was called Macedonia and Goodbye Macedonia. But if you have complaints about when I get it wrong once in a while, you can write me at ivan@boir.ca. That's the easy email, boir.ca. And we're listening to music with some brass in it, music that is roots traditional kind of based music. And we're going to head to Canada, back to Canada for a little bit as well. Played some music from the Ile de la Madeleine earlier. And this is a band called La Bottine Souriante, or The Smiling Boots. And they first appeared in the Quebec music scene in 1976. They're a living legend of French North American roots music. And they've been playing, well, off and on, they're kind of... They kind of do a few things here and there now these days, but it's argued that they were active for about 25 years. And they released 13 albums. Four of them were certified gold in Canada. That means that there are 50,000 copies of them sold. Three of them were platinum, which means there's over 100,000 copies sold. So they went pretty well. They sold over 500,000 albums. They won dozens of awards, headline festivals around the world. They're not just a Quebecois or a Canadian music phenomenon, but they're really well known in world music circles, and they traveled a fair bit. They developed this really distinctive style that allied its homage to the Quebecois tradition and a sort of a dash of jazz and salsa and folk and so on. But it was really rooted. It was definitely rooted in the Quebecois culture, and they were wonderful performers. In later years, they added brass more and more, and so they developed this exceptionally tight, this cohesive sound. They had the unique flavor of celebratory music. You just couldn't be unhappy at one of their concerts. They were just amazing. So these two elements, music and celebration, it was characterized by these pulsating rhythms and sounds and so on, exuberant spirit. And so that really fit their name, The Smiling Boot, La Bottine Souriante. Of course, if you've heard much Quebecois music, you know that they play the feet, the boots, and so that's a very important percussive element. You get a bunch of them going, and they're playing other instruments as well. It was just pretty amazing. I think they won the Canadian Juno for Best Roots Traditional Album three times or whatever. It's sort of a record for us. And three of their CDs. But I would go out on a limb, and I would say that in my view, in their day, they were the finest band from a traditional roots background that Canada ever had. There, I said it out loud, and I said it on the radio, no less. So there's some other really wonderful bands and so on, but I think when they were in their heyday, they were just not to be beaten. There were about 11 of them in the band. And so this is from one of their live albums. It's called En Spectacle, and if you get a chance to get some of these older albums of theirs, it's amazing stuff. And so this one is when they were in their full, you know, band. There are lots of instruments going for them. They had a great piano player who was doing really interesting stuff, Denis Fréchette. And so this is something called Sur la Route, or La Tapinie, and this is an excellent use of brass with an excellent band, La Bottine Souriante.
Paris, début d'après-midi, on s'est retrouvé à Montréal jusqu'aux petites heures matinales. Envoyer de l'avant nos gens, puis envoyer de l'avant.
Envoyer de l'avant nos gens, puis envoyer de l'avant.
C'est au spectrum que Michel a fait décoller sa semelle pendant un air anti-oblé, tapant du pied comme un donné. Envoyez de l'avant nos gens, puis envoyez de l'avant.
Envoyez de l'avant nos gens, puis envoyez de l'avant.
Un coup rendu à Chibougamau, j'ai vu Johnny tomber sur le dos. C'est là qu'il s'est foulé la patte, je peux vous dire qu'à Patersmap. Envoyez de l'avant nos gens, puis envoyez de l'avant.
Envoyez de l'avant nos gens, puis envoyez de l'avant.
On a été à La Rochelle, couché dans un chic hôtel. Jocelyn, on l'a cherché, sur le quai de la gare fut oublié. Envoyez de l'avant nos gens, puis envoyez de l'avant.
Envoyez de l'avant nos gens, puis envoyez de l'avant.
À Winnipeg.
Winnipeg au casino. Ce cher Denis visait le trop gros. Mais à la table de Blackjack, le portefeuille est plus même date. Envoyez de l'avant nos gens, puis envoyez de l'avant.
Envoyez de l'avant nos gens, puis envoyez de l'avant.
Un coup rendu à Chicago, foutu que les brassiers étaient corneaux. En se réveillant, ils ont eu peur, moquer la commission des liqueurs. Envoyez de l'avant nos gens, puis envoyez de l'avant.
Envoyez de l'avant nos gens, puis envoyez de l'avant.
En revenant de Maniwaki, c'était pour retrouver notre lit. Mais l'avion s'est mis à brosser, on pensait bien tout y rester. Envoyez de l'avant nos gens, puis envoyez de l'avant.
Envoyez de l'avant nos gens, puis envoyez de l'avant.
Et puis envoyez de l'avant nos gens, puis envoyez de l'avant.
Zut alors, mais magnifique, n'est-ce pas? Anyway, that's wonderful music from La Patine Souriante and from our live album. And certainly their material is still available if you're interested in, especially that latter, that the phase, you know, into the 90s and into the 2000s and so on, when they started adding brass into that. It made it a really interesting phase. Yves Lambert, who was the master of ceremonies, the main singer there, and he would... He'd have his fedora on. It's just this thing about Quebec male musicians in fedoras, I guess. You know, like Leonard Cohen or whatever. But Yves doesn't look a lot like Leonard Cohen, except for the fedora, and the kind of music was quite different. But you're listening to Roots and Branches and Beyond. And my name is Ivan Emke with you for this evening's show. And we are listening on either the interweb, the World Wide Web, on our www.boire.ca. Or you're listening at the Voice of Bombay, 95.9 FM in Norse Point. Or you're listening on Bay of Islands Radio, 100.1 FM, just a little bit better than 100%. Just remember it that way. CKVB in Corner Brook. Next up, the Bollywood Brass Band. I mentioned we're playing music from brass that's in a variety of cultural traditions. The Bollywood Brass Band is a Indian-style wedding band from the UK. They play great tunes, and these. If you've ever seen a Bollywood movie, they have, you know, compulsively danceable rhythms, I guess is the way we could put it. Wonderful. I mean, if you get over the cheesiness of it all, if you're kind of a serious, kind of minded person, and you can't just enjoy things, then maybe that's not the kind of movie for you. But the repertoire of the Bollywood Brass Band covers these classics from the golden age of Bollywood, the current hits and stage shows that have Bollywood film clips in it. And they're quite popular, not just with people who watch Bollywood music. Movies, but with anybody who just likes to hear some great brass and saxophone and drums and this big colossal sousaphone that they play and so on and so forth. So they're a rather colorful, joyful, exhilarating, let's even say, band. It was formed in 1992 because they had a band from Jabalpur in India coming to an international festival of street music in London. So a bunch of local folks who come from that tradition said, oh, well, we'll form our own band and we'll play along with them. And the rest is history, as they say. So this is a track called Jia Jale, and this is the Bollywood Brass Band. And that is the Bollywood Brass Band. You can almost see the costumes, the bright colors, the elaborate sets, and so on of a Bollywood musical there. You're listening to Roots and Branches and Beyond, and next up we're going to another band. This is from another continent. This is from Australia, a band that doesn't use brass quite as prominently, but it's certainly two of their members play brass instruments, and it's another example of integrating it into its own music. The band is called The Band Who Knew Too Much, and you can tell something about names occasionally. And you kind of get a sense that, okay, this is going to be kind of a quirky band, right? And indeed they are. Actually, I'd gone through this because I'm trying to get rid of things. And because that's the way, you know, life is. You spend the first, you know, whatever years amassing things. And you realize, I don't really, like, I don't have time. I'm not going to live long enough to listen to all these CDs. So I got to get rid of it. So I thought, okay, I haven't listened to that for decades. Let's get rid of that, you know, The Band Who Knew Too Much. And I listened to it in the car, you know, and I thought, this is really good. You know, they do a great version of the swimming song, that Loudon Wainwright song, which is Canadian. Anyway, so I thought, since they were playing brass instruments a little bit, and that's the theme of the show, this is how life comes together, isn't it, you know, in the real world, right? So they end up on the program. So anyway, The Band Who Knew Too Much, they're a bona fide, as they put it, I like how they put it on their website, they're a bona fide foolproof floor-packing band propelled by energetic jazz-like woodchop rhythms. You can get paid money to write stuff like that. You know that? You can get paid money, even Australian dollars. So, but they do feature these accordion-driven tunes and washboard-driven anthems about, you know, they sing about spending the rent or about difficult nights or glorious days or parking fines, that, you know, and stuff like that. And of course, given that they're Australian, they do sing about beer occasionally too. So they've worked the crowds. They've done a lot of busking on the streets as well to kind of hone their sound for about 25 years now. So they're from Melbourne in Australia, and they're amazed that they're still doing this. Like, how could that happen? And you know, sometimes party bands who are good live lack the polish and the panache for recordings. And so this is clearly, though, not the case for TBW-KTM, which is how they go by, The Band Who Knew Too Much. They've released 5 albums, not a lot in 25 years, but hey, like, who of us has released more than one every 5 years? Come on, be honest with yourself, you know? Anyway, give them a break. None of the members thought they'd be together 25 years from now. Not that they were looking forward to breaking up or anything, but they just, it's a bit of a surprise that they're still together. And one of the members, one of their leaders, Dave Evans, who's the, in Australia, he's known as the Jimi Hendrix of the accordion. I don't know if you knew there were things like that. Like, you probably don't know who the Jimi Hendrix of the accordion is in Canada, do you? Do you now? Well, that's a whole other show, isn't it? Again, we have to do a squeeze box show. But that's for another night. But anyway, Dave Evans said that we get along pretty well in the band. The playing is very enjoyable. We never thought we'd be celebrating this milestone. This is the 25th anniversary. But it's not hard to keep playing. And I wouldn't be surprised if we're playing at 50 years. Kind of like the Rolling Stones, I guess, eh? So this is a great little, this is from their CD, which is called, never heard of them, and from Australia. A fun, fine band who has a few brass instruments in their repertoire. This is The Band Who Knew Too Much.
Spinning round and round. Those things you'd rather do than be with me, they make me cry.
You got me spinning round and round.
Your life it screams along at such a hectic pace it flies.
And now my feet don't touch the ground.
You got me dizzy spinning, you
you got me spinning, spinning, you got me spinning round and round.
Spinning round and round. Those things you'd rather do than be with me, they make me cry. You got me spinning round and round. Your life, it screams along at such a hectic pace it flies, and now my feet don't touch the ground. You got me dizzy spinning, you got me spinning, spinning, you got me spinning round and round.
Yes, that's kind of dandy stuff, and you can tell that they'd be good at a street festival or busking. That's the band Who Knew Too Much. And something called Spinning Round and Round. It's not a traditional track. They mostly write their own very interesting sort of stuff. So next up we have another. If we talk about brass bands, you really can't not talk about New Orleans, obviously, or the tradition of brass bands in that area. Louisiana likes to think of itself as the hottest musical state in the United States, but it's, you know, they might have a thing there because they might be talking about the temperature of the air or something like that. But anyway, you can't debate the fact that New Orleans and Louisiana in general, there's a bunch of really important distinctive styles that have come out of there: Cajun and Zydeco, and the big band music that is so predominant there, and so on. So we'll have to, you know, I mean, really, I would get lots of letters and complaints if I didn't play something from them. So we're going to play a track from the Soul Rebels Brass Band. And they're an eight-piece New Orleans brass band. They incorporate lots of, obviously, jazz and funk, but hip-hop and rock and soul as well. They've sort of evolved into a collaborating artist. So they've collaborated with all kinds of people, including like Metallica. I don't know if you can think of a brass band playing with Metallica. But anyway, Metallica, Green Day, Marilyn Manson, the String Cheese Incident. I don't know if those of you are really heavy into folk music, you would know of them. The Branford Marsalis, of course. The Allman Brothers Band, Arcade Fire, our own from Montreal. So they've built a career around this rather eclectic live show that harnesses the power of their horns, percussion, and so on, funky sort of party-like atmosphere. They play routinely over 250 shows a year, so they're quite active, and that obviously, I think, and maybe I'm being old-fashioned, old-school here, but I think playing a lot of shows really hones your skill if you're learning from what you're doing and you're learning from the audience and so on. They've been described by the Village Voice, New York magazine, and they have people who say things that are supposedly important about culture and art and music, but they've been described as the missing link between Public Enemy and Louis Armstrong, which, yeah, it's kind of a cool thing to have said. You know, it's one of those things that you kind of wish at some moment, I wish I would have said that. Anyway, they started with an idea to expand upon the pop music they loved on the radio, but also the New Orleans brass tradition that they grew up on, and that's where they've ended up. And they've taken that tradition, blended funk and soul with elements of hip-hop and jazz and rock and so on. Stop talking, Ivan, and just play this track. Yes, this is something called Say Na Hey, and this is the Soul Rebels Brass Band from New Orleans. Yes, indeed, that's Say Na Hey, and a band there called the Soul Rebels. Soul Rebels Brass Band, or sometimes it's just the Soul Rebels. Great kind of funky sound, as you can tell from that. We have a couple more tracks to go for this episode of Roots and Branches and Beyond. You're listening to CKVB, Bay of Islands Radio, 100.1 FM, or Voice of Bombay, 95.9 in Norris Point, or you're listening on the World Wide Web. Next up, I said we'd play with a ska because, you know, brass has is an integral part of ska. And so I thought I'd play something from the Idlers. The Idlers was a reggae band from St. John's in Newfoundland, Labrador, about 11 members. They were founded in 2006 and they released an EP in that year. And by the time they released their first full album, 2008, they had quite a following here in on the island in the province and somewhat beyond. But from their seaside hometown there in St. John's, they loaded and unloaded the Great Green Pickle Van to bring their skank and reggae, ska, rock to cities and towns all over the coast of Atlantic and the coast of Pacific and in between. They had different band sizes because, you know, they all had other jobs and so on. And so they went from, you know, sometimes there were seven pieces and so on. And sometimes they had 11 pieces. But they had great reviews of their live shows. And I remember, I mean, some of you people here from Cornerbrook, you know, you haven't been around for very long. But I remember about a half a dozen years ago or so, maybe a bit more even, alas, maybe eight, I don't know. There was a great Halloween party at up on Broadway there at maybe it was Jennifer's or one of those places, whatever they were called at the time. And the Idlers were the live band, and they were amazing. Like, they were an amazing band and a great, you know, band to dance to. And the thing is, it was Halloween, and a lot of people had dressed up. It was one of those moments when Cornerbrook looked oddly unusual, oddly, like, alluring. And so, because, you know, I've been to Halloween parties, and a few people dress up in kind of lackluster things that they bought on the internet. But people had put a lot of time into their costumes, and maybe it was just the spirit of the Idlers. People were going to see the Idlers, it was a great band, and they were wonderful and friendly and happy, and you just couldn't be unhappy at an Idlers concert. And maybe it was just a kind of a constellation of factors in the universe that came together and made that exceptionally good concert and night and audience. But I shall forever remember that. Well, I hadn't thought of it for a while until I actually played this track, but it's an expression that we use. I'll remember that forever. Alas, the band has been inactive since 2014, but who knows? They could get together and blow us out of the water once again if we wish. So this is from their CD, which was simply called The Idlers. This is a track called You Got It. So from St. John's, Newfoundland, this is The Idlers.
Thank you.
dare you not to move. Nicely done. That was The Idlers and something called You Got It. And we're coming up to the end of the show here. One more track and we're playing some brass. Just a slight deviation. Next week, I think we're playing music about farming because I'm going to a farming convention, so that's what's on my mind. But we can't talk about brass, and I did mention New Orleans, but one of the very distinctive traditions within New Orleans is it's the home of a funerary tradition, the jazz funeral. And so early on, they many people who lived there would create these social clubs that were basically kind of they were also called burial clubs sometimes, but they were a social club and you gave to it during your life, and they would make sure you had a really good send-off, like that you would have a band and everything else. And so some of the great brass bands would march to the funeral, to the cemetery and march back, and some of the finest of the New Orleans marching bands would do this, and they'd guard their repertoire. And one of the bands that did that was the Eureka Brass Band. And they worked for all the best social clubs because a social club would then contract with a brass band to be part of the funeral. So they have a great kind of a swing feel and orchestral sound. It was an 11-piece band. And maybe you've seen, and again, you can look this up. There's a bunch of documentaries about it and so on. You can see a documentary about the New Orleans funeral where you see them marching with a brass band. It's very sad and somber, as it should be, when they head toward the graves. And even the cemeteries in New Orleans are quite interesting because the bodies are buried above ground because there's so much water in the ground and so on and so forth, similar to some areas of Newfoundland and Labrador where they have difficulties finding good places. And so they would bury them in concrete vaults above the ground. But you'd see these very mournful processions heading to the graveyard, and then the body is left there, and then it's a more triumphant procession afterwards sometimes, where people are joyful for the life that enriched them while it was there. So anyway, the Eureka Brass Band, as I said, they formed in the 1920s probably, and as the years passed, they attracted a lot of the city's best musicians. And so this is a recording from 1958, I believe, and it was recorded live at a funeral. And it's a classic New Orleans sort of a stunning, you know, kind of a ragtime march. It's called Sing On. The band, Eureka Brass Band, was active from 1920 to 1975, so 55 years there. And they still occasionally apparently show up here and there. But they had usually three trumpets, two trombones, two reeds, tuba, snare drum, bass drum, and so on. And so this is appropriate to end our show on brass, to have the Eureka Brass Band, because for times when someone leaves us, it's good to be noticed when they go. And, you know, we don't want to be just tossed in a hole. And a New Orleans brass band accompanying our body, I think, would help, no doubt, to add something to that ceremony. So there you go. A happy, bittersweet, think of it as happy, kind of track to go out on. We'll see you again next week, hopefully, and take care, everybody, and take care of each other. This is the Eureka Brass Band.